Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
In his book, What's Wrong with the World, British author G.K. Chesterton observed, "The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried." I'm afraid that far too many of us have been taught what we must do to become Christians, have counted the cost of such a life of service and suffering, and have decided it costs too much. If this describes you, I hope that you'll stay tuned and study with us today as we turn to God's Word and see the suffering of Christ, asking the question, what is a Christian? Possibly you felt like you knew the answer to that question, but have found yourself unable to really define what a Christian is, to truly identify who are the children of God. We noticed that the word Christian itself is the fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah 62 and verse 2 reads, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." That wonderful name is Christian, and we noted that it only occurs in the Bible three times. But those three times teach us much about what a Christian is, and what a person is to do and be in order to be pleasing to God. We noticed, first of all, from Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, "And when he had found him," this is Barnabas finding the Apostle Paul, "he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." From this verse we notice that a Christian is a disciple. By defining disciple as one who has been taught and one who follows what he's been taught, he is disciplined by what he has been taught, we understand much about what a Christian is. The second verse in the Bible where we find the word Christian is Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. "Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian." Paul was a great persuader of men, and he was trying to persuade Agrippa because, as he told the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Paul knew that a judgment day was coming. He knew that we must stand before God in the end, and he wants all to be saved. Therefore, he persuaded men. We ask the question how we are to be persuaded, and we notice that we are persuaded by hearing God's Word and learning what it says, and only by doing so can we be persuaded. We closed with the passage from the psalmist, Psalms 119 and verse 7. "I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments." Until that time, we will not turn to God, but we must learn his righteous judgments in order to turn our hearts to him and truly praise him. But today we look at the third verse, where we find the word Christian. It is the last verse in the Bible that holds this word, and it is 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. The text reads this way, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." From this verse we learn that a Christian is a sufferer. In fact, Paul told the young man Timothy, "Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." There is no ifs, ands, or buts. If you're going to do what's right, sooner or later you will suffer persecution for having chosen the right path. A Christian is a sufferer. It is because of this truth that men often turn away from living the Christian life. Now, Jesus is our example of that suffering. Notice Matthew 16 and verse 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." Jesus taught them over an extended period of time, a number of months, that he was going to Jerusalem for the purpose of dying for us. Now, even though he taught them this many times, they clearly did not understand it. He told them his suffering was at hand. He told them who was going to do it to him. He told them what city it was going to happen in. He even tells them in Mark 8 and verse 31 that the chief priests and the elders and the scribes are going to kill him, and after 3 days he will be raised again. He tells them he must suffer this, that this generation will reject him, and all these things, and they still did not understand. I guess it is impossible for them as humans to have fully understood the amount of suffering that our Lord would have to go through on our behalf. But it was necessary. Notice Luke 24 and verse 46. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Now, why spend so much time talking about the suffering of Jesus? We all know that it occurred. We accept that it had to happen. We even accept that it was for our good that it happened. But what does that have to do with my suffering? The lesson is driven home to us in this way. We are not better than the one we serve. Notice John chapter 15 and verse 20. For not only did our Lord teach his disciples that he was going to go to Jerusalem and suffer, but he warned them that if they were going to be his disciples, if they were going to be Christians, they also were going to suffer. John 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Jesus' suffering is important to us because by looking at it, we know that he loves us. But it's also an important warning to us that if we are going to be his servants, we are going to suffer in similar ways because we certainly are not greater than our master. Notice some of the suffering that the Apostle Paul endured. In writing to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 3, pick up the reading with me in verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith." Now, why was Paul so worried about these people at Thessalonica? Continue reading with me. "To establish you, encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that when we were appointed to this, for in fact we told you before, when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation, just as it has happened, and you know." See, Paul was concerned about the new young Christians in Thessalonica because of the suffering that they were having to endure because they were now Christians. He was worried about them. He had warned them. They had seen that suffering even in the way Paul himself had been treated, yet he was still concerned that it would shake them and shake their faith and move them away from God. We as Christians are going to suffer, but we cannot allow that suffering to move us away from God. Rather, it should move us closer. Notice the words of 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 20. "For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? For when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called." Why? "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Now, how is it that Christ suffered? "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For you were like a sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." We understand from what Peter has written that we are going to suffer, that we have been called to a life that has a certain amount of suffering involved in it because of the one we serve. But he serves as the example of how we should endure that suffering, that we should endure it without sin, just as he did, that we should endure it without hating those who make us suffer, and we should do so without losing our faith in God. One final verse that I would like to leave with you as we talk about the suffering that a Christian will have to do. Many say, "Preacher, you shouldn't tell people they're going to have to suffer. That's not the way to convert people to Christ. You'll scare people off." I want you to understand what's ahead of you. Consider this, 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 12. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings." Now, why would we rejoice in that? This reason, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. On the other side of that suffering is a home with our Lord in heaven. A Christian is a disciple who has been persuaded to live a life of suffering for our Lord. Till next time, this is Paul Meacham reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.